You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. And I'm really delighted to welcome to the Nature Connection show today a lovely lady called Donna Noble, who is a yoga teacher. And Donna started her yoga journey approximately 11 years ago, and she specializes in Hatha and Bikram yoga, which I'm sure she's going to tell us all about and the differences between. She's certified with the British Wheel of Yoga and is also a certified NLP master practitioner. So welcome to the show, Donna.
Thank you, Sarah. It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me onto the show today.
You're very welcome. And I think this is going to be a really exciting time for us to talk about the benefits of yoga and how we can all, no matter who we are, we can all benefit from it. So knowing a little bit about you and having had a look at your lovely websites, I can see, or you share, that you first came to yoga you used to be in a corporate setting, and now you're a yoga teacher. So can you tell us a little bit about how you made that fairly big shift?
Very big shift, Sarah. Initially, yoga for me was just a hobby. A friend of mine was very much into watching celebrities and what they were doing. And at the time, yoga was a very in thing to do. So I started yoga. I had a friend of mine that was practicing to be a yoga teacher, and I would do yoga with her. And I did that for a short period of time. And then a few years later, I went and studied for a degree. So the yoga I put to one side. And when I was working in a corporate environment, they introduced yoga again. And I went back to that. And there again, my love story with the yoga commenced, basically. And then shortly after that, Sarah, I began to become very busy with work and with life, etc. And the yoga was what kept me on track. And a friend of mine basically said, Donna, you know, have a plan B. What is it you want to do? So, you know, you may not always be in corporate forever. So what should you do? And the only thing, Sarah, I could think that I would love to do was the yoga, and started doing a yoga course just about the history of yoga. And then from there, when I do anything, Sarah, I do it to the full extent. So I thought, why not do a teacher training course? It will allow me to learn more about yoga, but also I can become a yoga teacher. And at that point, I had no interest in becoming a yoga teacher. Shortly after that, about a year later, I was made redundant and quite naturally fell into yoga and started teaching it, Sarah, and I've not looked back since, basically.
So what has it brought you? What actually drew you in? What do you think? How has it strengthened you in that time?
At that time, Sarah, I was very much into corporate, very working long hours and becoming very stressed, even though at the time I would refute and deny that I was stressed at all. And yoga has allowed me to learn about myself. I began a journey with yoga and began to know about myself in a deeper sense. It changed me quite completely. The focus became less centric in terms of work, and I began to connect with my family at a deeper level. But also I began to question how I looked at life, and what the way in which I was living my life wasn't enough anymore, basically. So the yoga showed me that there was more to life that I was missing out completely. So I completely changed, and the people around me saw that, especially at work. They saw that I began to leave work on time, and my attitude completely changed. I began to feel more empowered and felt that I could be more the true Donna, basically.
So that's really extraordinary, isn't it? But not because we know that these shifts can happen, but it's really nice to actually put it into words and share it like that. Yeah. So what kind of, I think, would be really useful and interesting for people to hear about is that yoga is often seen as this exercise system where you have to be able to stand on your head and, you know, put your leg behind your neck and all that kind of thing, and I think we all know that we can't, but maybe we might feel a little bit, you know, embarrassed that we're not very flexible or anything like that. So Can you tell us a little bit about the spirit of modern yoga and how it can actually benefit everybody?
Yeah, I believe that, Sarah, yoga is for everybody and everybody type, and it's not like that at all. I know some people will think that, and that might be true of some forms of yoga, but yoga, you can do yoga at any age. And one yoga that particularly, I suppose, shows this is Bikram yoga. Bikram basically says that whether you're 8 or 80, anyone can do yoga, and it just depends on the postures that you do. So there are some very basic postures that can be modified to suit anybody. So anybody that wants to come into yoga will basically be able to embrace it and have a, get a foundation in yoga and use the yoga to help them in whatever way they want to.
Can you tell us a little bit about the different types of yoga? So you mentioned Bikram yoga, you said there, didn't you?
Yeah, Bikram yoga. So all yoga derives from Hatha yoga.
Okay.
And Hatha means sun and moon, basically. So there's a lot of different schools of yogas that have been derived. So the one that I, the two types of yoga that I mainly practice is Hatha yoga in a form called Vinyasa flow, which uses a lot of breath control. So you use a lot of sun salutations, which is core to yoga. Bikram yoga is yoga that is done in a hot room, 110 degrees and 40% humidity, basically. So the reason why it's done in the heat, Sarah, is so that the body can stretch more naturally. So, these postures can
Okay.
be done more safely in a heated environment. So there's less risk of injuring yourself. And Hatha yoga, which I also like, is a very slow, deliberate yoga that anyone else can do. So they, so if someone wants to get into yoga and discover it, they should just go to Hatha yoga, basically, and that will be a good foundation. And from that foundation, they'd be able to go into Iyengar yoga, which is for someone that might have injuries. So it's a more, it's a yoga that uses a lot of props that will help them to get into any postures that they need to, which will aid them. So if they have any knee issues or back issues, they can use the props that will help them to perform the yoga in a very safe way. But there's numerous types of yoga out there, basically. So if anyone wants to know about yoga, I'm happy for them to sort of email me and I can help them to do so. But what I would suggest, Sarah, is that someone maybe is go to different forms of yoga, and just try a couple of classes and just see which yoga resonates with them more. And that's the way they'll find which yoga is right for them.
That's really interesting because I didn't actually know those differences either, and I ha do practice yoga, so it's really interesting to hear. So, what would you recommend? Because there's a lot of online yoga classes now, aren't there?
Yeah, there are indeed. But what I would recommend for somebody maybe in the beginning, depending on if they've got any limitations in terms of getting to a class, is maybe getting into a classroom environment so that they can have a session with a teacher so they can look at their bodies, and if there's any alignment or adjustments that need to be made, then those can be done. And then after, say maybe 6 or 7 classes will give someone a good foundation. And then thereafter, if they want to take an online yoga course, then they can maybe move towards that. And that's something I'm looking at maybe doing in the future. And that will help them as well to help with their practice. But because I think all forms of yoga is good, because not only because of the postures, but also for the benefits in terms of what they get for the mind-body connections as well.
Yes, I mean, it's fabulous, isn't it, to if you actually, like yourself, came to your class and then had a way of actually attending classes with you on different days when you weren't physically there. That is a really good way of explaining it. So as you said so beautifully at the beginning, many of people go to yoga for its physical benefits because they want to be more flexible, to stretch more. They also know that it's calming because it's a slow that we connect to the breath. Can you talk to us a little bit about how, when we practice something physically, when we adopt certain poses, how that shifts on the internal as well?
The way in which that helps us, Sarah, is that basically you come back to the breath, and that helps you to become more mindful. So it helps to still all the drama and the noises that we have in around us all the time. So it enables us to become more focused and more concentrated. And coming back to the breath, also internally, it allows us to go more deeper into posture. There's a saying that I use, Sarah, and is I say inhale to exhale. In life, we're taught to chase things all the time, but with yoga, it's sort of the reverse. So it's almost like take a rest, and then you'll be able to go deeper into your practice. So you become more internal, and then you listen to your body more because you can hear things. There was a profound moment when I was in a class, Sarah, to give an example, and I was told by the teacher that I'm not in the room when I practice. I'm there physically but not mentally. And I thought, what do you mean by that? And then he just said, Donna, when you fall out of a posture, just think, why have you fallen out? I just stayed in the room, Sarah, and I just internalized and came back to my breath. I just inhaled and exhaled, and I could just feel my heart beating, Sarah, and I was just so noticed what my body was doing, my heartbeat, the sweat that was dripping off my fingers, and I just became so much more focused, and I was able to perform the posture so much more powerfully and hold them a lot longer because I was there focused and being mindful and being in the moment, which is something that I have not learned to do. And now I'm more aware of that, and that's what yoga can allow someone to do. So someone that's very busy, it's almost like you're able to relax completely. You're still there and performing your postures, but you're there breathing. You can actually direct the breath. If there's if you have a pain in your body, you can actually direct the breath to that area in the body and soothe it and then go deeper. It's just so profound.
That's a really good explanation of how the connecting to the breath brings us into the present. So how, for people listening now who maybe just listening to you then, I was deep breathing more deeply just listening to you because it connected me to my breath, which is really powerful. So for people who are listening, who I suspect are also just paying attention to their breath as we talk about it, how do yoga practitioners suggest we breathe?
Okay, basically, the way in which we suggest you breathe is you try and direct the breath to the abdomen, because a lot of us shallow breathe, so we breathe very much in the chest area. So what we try and do is say to individuals is try to direct the breath down to the abdomen. And as they inhale, they try to deepen the breath, and as they exhale, they lengthen the breath. And a very simple way in which I try to get my students to do so, Sarah, is to count. So it's just simply as you inhale, you count to six, and as you exhale, you count to six. So you try to ensure that the breath on the inhale and the exhale is equal. And then once they get confident with that, they can just add an additional count onto the breath, and then it becomes very natural. And then basically, their breath becomes deeper, it calms them down, and they're able to use that in any given situation. So the breath, they can use it for presentations and any situations where they are, so they can eliminate that flight or fright situation.
And is there a certain, do you breathe through the nose or through the mouth?
Yeah, so you breathe, like I say, you inhale for the nose and exhale for the nose, basically. So deep abdominal breathing, and that's how you do that, basically. There's various different techniques, but in a very simple way, that's the simplest one I can describe right now. So just deep breathing in for the nose and exhale for the nose.
Yes. Brilliant.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You can just also close your eyes, Sarah, and just drift away, but maybe not at this moment in time.
Maybe not, especially if there's people. What I think is really important is if there's people listening that right now who are driving or need to pay attention to things, but it's clearly not something we want to close our eyes with. But as you were saying before, paying attention to the breath actually brings us into our body. So if somebody is driving or doing something where they have to pay attention, breathing is a great skill, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and it's very centering as well. And another technique I sometimes do is to focus the mind as well. They bring the attention to the breath. They can repeat a mantra as well. So as they inhale, they can say let, and as they exhale, go. And that's another way as well to elongate and deepen and lengthen the breath as well. Again, in through the nose and out through the nose.
Brilliant. So let go. Yes, lovely. Yes. You're listening to the Nature Connections show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Okay, so is there, from, I see from looking on your website that people say amazing things about your teaching, about your classes. What do you bring to your classes that allows people to experience their true essence? What does yoga bring out? How does it allow, what do you see in your students, how they shift and change?
Basically, I, when my students come into the room, Sarah, I can see that they got what, you know, the issues from their day there. So you can see they come in, they're very distracted, they're not present in the room at all. So what I, and because I went through that myself, my main aim is to get them back to the breath. And by bringing them into the breath, Sarah, that then I begin them, bring them into the moment, into the here and the now, and just try to get them to release whatever issues they may have in the room. So basically, I connect with them on an energy level, and because I'm the main focus in the room in terms of the teaching, then I try to give them my calmness and reach them with the energy in that sense. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully by the end of class, Sarah, they're completely calm, completely relaxed, and they're going away feeling completely satisfied, so getting the mind focused, and they get that sense of, I call it a yoga high, especially with the Bikram yoga. You can actually see them coming out, and you can see the endorphins working around the body, and they come out and they feel amazing. And you know, just talking to them in a very calm and very slow and deliberate way, and I just try to teach them in the way, in terms of what I see in the room. So I don't just go in there and say the dialogue, I actually teach to what I see and try and give them what I think they need, so that when they leave their class, they leave with at least one thing, whether it's a light bulb moment in terms of a posture they've been working with, or they come out feeling totally on a major high. That's what I try and do when I'm in the room, Sarah.
It sounds as if you're very successful from what I can see from what your students say about you. It sounds lovely. It really, really does. And how do you bring your NLP practitioner self into what you do, because it must be there?
It is there, and I think that's what I think it's ingrained in me, and I think I'm using that in a natural sense. So even like with the breathing, what I'll do is try to get myself to be in rapport with my students, so by the end of the class we're breathing as one, if that is at all possible. I try to bring synergy into the class, so they're all moving as one, because yoga means union. So even if I have a few people that in the class that aren't there in the moment, I explain to them what yoga is about. And it's so gratifying, Sarah, to see when you have a room sometimes of up to 30, 40 people moving as one. Or you see them do a posture and they do it in the first set, Sarah, and they sort of give up. And then I say to them, look, guys, you've got this energy in you. You've got this focus and determination. You know, just utilize it. And second set, Sarah, it's like they're almost deepening themselves, and you see everyone maybe trying to balance on one leg as a posture, and you just see them all doing it and all holding each other together and supporting each other. It's an amazing thing to see. Mm. And then they come away, Sarah, thinking, you know what, I can do this. And if they think that they can do it in yoga, imagine what they can do in their everyday lives. If they get into a situation where they feel defeatist, then I hope they come back to that one moment in that one class, Sarah, and think, you know what, I can do this.
Mm. That's beautiful, isn't it? Really beautiful. Yeah. I know that because I teach Tai Chi myself, that there is a difference between Tai Chi with a group as to doing it alone. Both are great. Yeah. But they're different. Do you see that as well in yoga?
I do, very much so, because when you do it on, say, a one-to-one level, you know, I can adapt the class to suit that individual's body. But in a group level, it's harder. You know, that's why I like teaching intimate classes where I do, you know, maybe 5 to 10 people, because then I like giving that individual attention. Whereas in a larger class, you can't always do that, even though you want to. So you try and do the best I can with the tools that I have together. So I, you know, the words that I speak, you know, I might say a correction to one person, but it's nice to see that maybe 10 or 20 people in the room will actually think, oh, that applies to me as well. And you see them making that minor that adjustment that's been given to that one person. Mm. And that's how the NLP helps me to do that. So as well, if I'm in a room Sarah, and I, people aren't listening to me, then I say, okay, they might be very visual. So what I may do is then demonstrate a posture to them, and that again seems to help. And I get a lot of feedback saying that they like that as well.
Brilliant. So I think it's almost mouth-watering listening to you. Certainly that's how it is for me, so I can imagine it is for others as well. So if we all of us nowadays, we spend far too much time sitting down, whether it's watching the telly or driving or sitting behind our computers or doing whatever it is we do. So if anybody, so what would be really, really great, could you talk us through now a very simple yoga posture or exercise that we can all do as we're listening? And I would just like to say, if you're driving, then please don't do this. Come back and listen afterwards. Or if you're doing something where you actually need to be fully present for that activity, please do not do this. But if you aren't, and if you can join in, could you talk us through something?
Okay, what somebody can do, Sarah, is to actually stand up if it's at all appropriate, and then have their feet hip distance apart.
Okay.
And basically, what you can then do is just bend down and bring your torso down. And then what you can do is bring your hands underneath your toes and just allow your head to hang and bend the knees. And that, what this will do is gently allow your spine to release, but also as well, you can straighten the knees and just give yourself, your hamstring, a nice stretch. And it also, it's a slight inversion, so the blood is resting to your head, so you're giving fresh blood to the brain. So that means if you're sort of stressed, basically, you know, you're going to have a new perspective on any issue that you may have. And then to come out, just releasing the hands and just gently rolling back up, vertebra by vertebra by vertebra. Mm. And that's something you can just do if you've been sitting at a desk for a long time. And that should help you within your day.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, thank you for that. Okay, and I could hear you were doing it at the same time, weren't you?
I was there, actually.
So I hear your voice change. So I thought, it's fine. It's just, it's nice because you were able to demonstrate it as you were doing it, or demonstrate it through your voice. So it's been... It is really inspiring to talk to you and to hear how yoga can impact us all on so many levels. So can you please tell everybody how they can find out more about what you do? And I know you live in London, so for London people, it's going to be quite easy.
Yes,
if people live outside of London, I know that they can also work with you. So please tell everybody how they can do that.
Well, they can find me on Facebook, where on a daily basis I send out inspirational quotes, and that is Donna Noble Yoga, the noble art of yoga. And basically you can connect to me there by sending me a message, and then I offer Skype sessions as well, or video sessions as well. And they can also find me on my website, and that's www.donnanobleyoga.co.uk, and my schedule's there again. Also my telephone details, my phone details are there, but also my email details as well. Again, feel free to contact me, and then happy to have a conversation with you to see what I can do for you in terms of yoga, but also with the coaching sessions. There's not only yoga sessions, but I also offer well-being sessions where I incorporate my NLP skills as well. So yoga can be quite addictive, and you get into a yoga studio and your body's fine, but you need to look at what's going in the mind as well. So I try and offer that true mind and body connection as well. And on my website, you'll also find my timetable for where I teach all around in London. So feel free to contact me there.
Yeah, you're quite a busy lady, aren't you?
I am indeed. Try to be.
Is there any type of person or any type of body injury that where people should not do yoga? Or should do it with, definitely see an instructor rather than do it online or read, because you know you can get yoga self-help books nowadays. What advice would you give there?
The advice I would give is speak to your practitioner first of all to make sure that yoga is going to be a good option for them, which I undoubtedly think it will be anyway. But try and research your yoga and find a certified yoga practitioner, someone like who's certified to the British Rule of Yoga or Yoga Alliance or any sort of body like that, and see them and explain what your issues are, and then hopefully they should be able to help you and give you some modifications and give you advice as to what is suitable for you. But if anyone's got any issues, they can also contact me and I'm happy to help regardless of location and offer some advice there as well.
Absolutely, that would be great for really just making contact with you, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
excellent. So I read from some of your students' testimonies that you teach from the heart. Isn't that a lovely thing for somebody to reflect back to you?
It is, and I didn't realise that was the case, Sarah. So it's good then to get that feedback, because I'm very passionate about yoga and I teach in the way that I'd like to be taught. So I really do. The yoga to me is a very near, deep, and encompassing thing. Basically, that I will be doing for the rest of my life. Basically,
And well, I you hope do. To impart that you see, as well. Well, certainly I've seen videos of people of quite age, certain ages doing some extraordinary things. That's very, very inspiring. And just one last thing that I'd like to just have a chat with you about, because this is the Nature Connections show, and you've really spoken about how yoga can connect us to our inner nature. Yoga can be practiced outdoors, can't it?
It can indeed, and that's something I'll be looking when the weather improves.
Yes.
I'll be doing that. Something I was adverse to, but when the times I've done it, it's been so nice to connect with nature. I've done it on a beach in Egypt, but I've also done it in parks, and it's just so lovely to do so with the sun, coming down on your body. It's just so healing and so refreshing to do, basically, especially in a nice environment. And I'd recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, because I would imagine just actually. Because yoga is very much about connecting to the floor, therefore to the earth underneath you.
Indeed. Very grounding, very centering as well.
Yes, a lot of the time the body is on the floor in different parts, so actually doing it on the earth.
Yes, very much so. I totally agree.
Okay, thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Sarah.
So, the Noble Art of Yoga, which is a wonderful name, because it is your name, isn't it, Donna Noble?
It is indeed. Thank you, Sarah.
So thank you so much for your time. It's been really, really inspiring.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Sarah.
You're listening to the Nature Connections show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature.